Welcome to the Goddess Divine podcast. Join me as I unveil the stories of goddesses from across time and cultures. We will dive deep into the archetypes and energies that these goddesses embody, and we'll explore the practical applications of goddess wisdom in our daily lives. We'll discuss how to connect with the divine feminine through rituals, meditation, creative expression, and acts of conscious living. Whether you're a seasoned practitioner of goddess spirituality or just beginning your journey, this podcast is for you. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Goddess Divine podcast. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. So today's episode deals with the fears and the hesitations around transitioning into a new form of spirituality, namely goddess spirituality. You know, first I wanted to say that there is a diverse group of women, you know, right now on the planet who are really seeking a new way. They're looking for a new type of connection with the divine. And one avenue that is quite appealing to many women globally is that of goddess spirituality. However, with that said, there are, you know, some anxieties around it. There's a lot of hesitation too regarding this path. And this is because many of the women who are coming to goddess spirituality are shifting away from traditional Christianity, which has its own type of divine feminine. That type of divine feminine, for the most part, has not been appealing to many modern women. And when I say that type of divine feminine, it's the type that is very obedient, the type that is very submissive, the virginal type. And again, it's not very appealing. So many people are looking for a new way to connect to the divine, and they want it to be an empowering type of spirituality. However, you know, with that, there are some serious challenges that some women are going to have to face if they're going to make this spiritual change. So that's why I did this episode today. And I wanted to explore some of the reasons why some women, especially if you're coming from a patriarchal religion like Christianity, you know, I wanted to explore why some of them might hesitate to engage in goddess spirituality. So let's talk about some of these challenges today. So the first challenge is the fear of the unknown. Stepping outside of a familiar religious framework can be daunting, you guys, especially if those frameworks heavily influenced somebody's upbringing and their worldview. Goddess spirituality, with its diverse traditions and often decentralized structure, which is frustrating for a lot of people, it's going to be very unfamiliar, and it requires a rethinking of your established beliefs. So when you're in a religion for a long time, you undoubtedly have some internalized misconceptions. Some aspects of goddess spirituality might be misconstrued as incompatible, of course, with Christian teachings. Concerns about idolatry, witchcraft, or challenging patriarchal structures with somebody's former faith can create internal conflicts, right? And fear of judgment. So for many people out there, there are fears around potential social disapproval. I think these are huge fears. So depending on somebody's social circles and their family dynamics, exploring non-traditional spirituality, especially goddess traditions, it's going to evoke a fear of ostracization. I can't even say the word, but of being ostracized. Or, you know, a lot of people fear criticism from the loved ones who hold these very traditional beliefs. Goddess spirituality in itself has a historical legacy of misrepresentation. Goddesses have often been demonized and marginalized in various historical and cultural contexts. And this legacy can lead to anxieties about engaging with goddess figures, you know, fearing association with negativity or taboos created by society. When you're leaving a specific religion, you have to learn how to navigate, you know, creating a new path. It's a little bit difficult. So reconciling potentially conflicting theological frameworks, rituals, and practices can lead to a lot of confusion and uncertainty about how to create a meaningful spiritual path. Especially because, again, I wanted to reiterate this earlier that, or emphasize this earlier, is that goddess spirituality can have a very decentralized structure. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. But another challenge that people can experience is the misconception that goddess spirituality is equivalent to Satanism, right? And that comes from a combination of historical biases, misinformation, and misunderstandings about those traditions. So I kind of wanted to dive into this a little bit more. So let's talk about the historical context, because I think this is really important for people to be aware of when they are really navigating a lot of the uncertainties. And especially if you're moving away from Christianity, you're going to have a lot of confusion and a lot of fear about, like, oh, okay, wait a minute, but my deity was Jesus, this male, you know, now we're just replacing one deity with another. So let's talk about the historical context, because for some people, Jesus is okay as a deity, as a deified figure, but female figures, there's something very suspicious about that. So let's talk about demonization of goddesses. So throughout history, many powerful goddesses have been demonized or associated with negativity by patriarchal societies that were seeking to control female power and female autonomy. So this demonization often involved linking them to concepts of darkness and chaos, which of course fueled misinterpretations and anxieties. During the spread of Christianity, many pre-Christian spiritual practices, including those associated with goddesses, they were demonized and labeled as devil worship or witchcraft. And historically, there's been a long and complex association between Satan, witchcraft, and even the persecution of women. And this connection, it stems from various factors. So number one, it stems from the misinterpretation of scripture. So we have texts like Leviticus 20:27, where you have the condemning of sorcerers, which was often understood as referring specifically to women practicing magic. We also have, you know, witchcraft accusations. They often targeted women who did not conform to societal norms, or it also targeted women who held positions of power. Some theological interpretations associated female sexuality and power with evil and demonic influence. So these associations, of course, unfairly link any non-Christian spiritual practice, including goddess worship, with Satanism. I also wanted to talk about misinformation and media representations. Sensationalized media, you know, the sensationalized media portrayals of Satanism often focus on dark rituals and demon worship, further reinforcing negative stereotypes and leading to inaccurate comparisons with practices and goddess spirituality. So I'm going to give you some examples here, right? So we have all of this misleading information and also misleading media representation. So let's talk about some of the goddesses that have intentionally been misrepresented or reinterpreted, right? And to mean something dark and evil. So there was an agenda here. It's something I also wanted to stress. There was an agenda. This didn't just happen organically. So let's talk about the goddess Lilith. And, you know, some of these goddesses, we're definitely going to be getting down and dirty into to understand their history, their stories, and then, of course, from the horse's mouth themselves. But let's talk about, you know, the Mesopotamian Lilith. So initially, she's initially depicted as a partner to Adam, you know, from Adam and Eve, Genesis. But she was depicted as his partner in some early Jewish legends. Later, she became demonized as a seductive demon who threatened men and children, right? And this shift likely resulted from attempts to enforce male dominance and demonize female sexuality outside of societal control. So just a little bit about Lilith here. If you remember, you know, she was the first woman created first before Eve came along. But she was not willing to be his submissive partner. He tried to exercise authority and control over her, and she said, absolutely not. That's not happening here. So of course she was demonized, branded, you know, something very dark and evil. And if you actually study your history on her, which I'm going to be devoting an entire episode to her specifically, you know, not only was she transformed into something very, you know, dark and yes, seductive and evil, it was so ingrained in people's psyches, it became a part of the practice of cursing people, like calling upon the demon to curse people, or you need to be protected from the demon, like protect your children from the demon. So you need this amulet to protect you from Lilith. It's completely crazy how they twisted her narrative, all because they wanted to control her and, you know, demonize female power. Now let's move to the goddess Inanna from Sumerian mythology. So she was a goddess of love, war, and fertility. And Inanna's complex personality and her association with sexuality led to the vilification in patriarchal and conservative interpretations. So some narratives even portray her as manipulative or cunning, reinforcing very negative stereotypes about powerful women. Let's talk about Sekhmet from Egyptian mythology. And right now I'm giving you just very short synopses on purpose because I will be doing episodes dedicated to each goddess and then channeling them to give you their side of the story. So Sekhmet is often depicted as a lioness goddess with this very fearsome roar. Her association with destructive aspects of the sun god Ra led to a duality in her perception. While revered for her protective power, she was also feared as a vengeful figure who brought war and disease. And lastly, let's talk about the goddess Hecate from Greek mythology. So this goddess of the crossroads, magic, and the underworld faced demonization as Christianity rose to prominence. Her nocturnal aspects and association with witchcraft made her a target for fear and demonization as a symbol of the other and a challenge to the dominant religious power structure. So you see this happen so many times. And I did speak to you about the destruction of the divine feminine at length here. I mean, I could go on forever about it, but there was an intentional agenda here to, it was a smear campaign. I swear I just heard that word as I'm talking to you. It was a vengeful smear campaign. Somebody's here talking to me, to put women in the trash heap. Oh my God. I feel like I'm channeling as I'm talking. So it was intentional, and they smeared the goddesses so that we would be afraid of them, so that we would no longer go to them and that they would no longer hold any form of prominence whatsoever in the minds of men. I just heard that too. I don't know who's here preaching to me today, but somebody is talking and I'm glad they're here because I can always use a little bit of help with these episodes. Okay. So unfortunately, you know, the history of comparing goddess spirituality to Satanism and demonizing and marginalizing goddesses is pretty vast, and it's a complex topic, and it's often intertwined with societal power structures and patriarchal biases. And this is, you know, all of this, which I refer to in the destruction of the divine feminine episode, all of this has led to the suppression of female spiritual leaders. So in several cultures, women's access to spiritual leadership roles has been restricted due to the fears of their potential influence and because of their challenge to patriarchal structures. And, you know, this suppression, it can manifest in various ways. So from denying women access to religious education to actively undermining their spiritual authority. And this is what really happened to goddess worship or goddess spirituality. They undermined their spiritual authority as if they could not be the embodiment of the divine. And, you know, these are just some examples and the reasons for the demonization, which of course varied based on cultural context, the political agendas, and the religious conflicts. We have to remember here that these negative portrayals often came from the fear of the unknown and the attempts to control female power and biases against aspects considered outside of quote-unquote societal norms. Some of the consequences of all of this were, number one, the persecution and discrimination. So false equivalences between goddess spirituality and Satanism can lead to discrimination and persecution against practitioners of really both traditions. So this perpetuates harmful stereotypes and it hinders individual spiritual freedom. We also have the misrepresentation of spiritual paths. So reducing complex spiritual traditions to sensationalized comparisons, really, this hinders genuine understanding and appreciation of their diverse beliefs and practices. There's, you know, fear and stigma associated with false comparisons, and this can discourage individuals from exploring what could be potentially enriching spiritual paths within goddess spirituality. Now, it's important to reclaim and reinterpret these goddesses' stories within their original context, and this offers a chance to challenge misogynistic narratives and celebrate the diverse faces of the divine feminine. So instead of focusing on fear, perhaps a more empowering approach here would be to highlight the potential benefits of goddess spirituality for women, because I think, again, if you're coming from a religion that is very restrictive, that already makes you a second-class citizen, that tells you that you are not a vessel for the divine, nor can you have religious authority, then it's a massive shift to go to a spiritual path like goddess spirituality that's telling you the complete opposite, but also has a decentralized structure. And what I mean is that goddess spirituality, for the most part, depending on the tradition, let me put that caveat there, depending on the tradition, may not have here's step one, here's step two, here's step three to practice. There may be no rule book and you're left to figure it out on your own. And that's very challenging. And that's what I had to come up against when I first started having or building a relationship with this path and with these goddesses. I didn't know what the hell to do. I read books, but there was no instruction manual. And I was super confused. Like, what am I going to do? You know, I know Christianity. I know the holidays. I know the steps. I know how to get saved. But what happens when you throw that rule book out the window? And that's very difficult for a lot of people. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, again, focusing on the benefits of goddess spirituality. So if you're considering this path and you're like, well, is this really for me? Is this really what I'm supposed to do? I don't understand it. I at least want to tell you why this is an important path. It's important, number one, to reconnect with the feminine divine. Goddess traditions offer diverse representations of female power, wisdom, and compassion, potentially providing a more inclusive and relatable spiritual experience for women. Goddess spirituality encourages self-love, intuition, personal empowerment as well, and it fosters self-confidence and autonomy. Connecting with other women who resonate with goddess spirituality can offer a sense of belonging and support, especially for those who might feel isolated due to their differing beliefs. So what are some of the benefits of goddess spirituality? Well, it promotes healing and balance. Many traditions within goddess spirituality emphasize connecting with nature, of course, emphasizes your intuition, your compassion, offering valuable tools for healing and creating harmony in the world, which is really what the divine feminine is all here to do. That's why, in my personal opinion, we're really seeing this emergence of the feminine divine. We're hearing that roar within ourselves because we know shit needs to change on this planet. It has needed to change for such a long time. And things have shifted and we're listening more to our inner guidance for direction. We're connecting with the divine feminine parts of ourselves that teaches us a pathway that comes from the heart that is more compassionate to help and heal the planet, to help and heal the people, as opposed to what we have with this toxic masculinity that is all about control and dominance and disabling people. So it's very important, you know, to connect with a goddess tradition that aligns with your purpose and what you are here to do. And we'll get into that in a little bit more later, just because that's also a challenging aspect as to where, you know, finding your goddesses, or can I say they find you? And that's the truth. And I'll get into that one day, but not today. But all of this to say that there are so many benefits to goddess spirituality, and that I think as the years go on, many people will start turning to this path or this tradition, as it's very empowering. So female spiritual leaders and goddesses, of course, can serve as role models for women, but also for men too, inspiring personal growth and fostering a more inclusive spiritual landscape. So as opposed to what you have in some patriarchal religions, where it's specifically created for the men by the men, right? It's not inclusive whatsoever, or it's very limited in its inclusivity. It's different when you have goddess spirituality. They welcome everyone from all types of life. It doesn't matter. Goddess spirituality bridges the gap between the divine and the mundane. Recognizing the divine feminine within ourselves and the world around us can really create a sense of interconnectedness, and it can promote responsible stewardship of the planet. And that's so necessary, especially now that there are so many issues with the planet in general, with having clean drinking water, with the treatment of animals, with having, you know, good clean food to eat. There are so many things, so many corrections that, you know, have to be made. I just heard that the divine feminine is here to course correct. Right. And when we understand that everything that we do is interconnected, and we need to have a better, more respectful relationship with the land, with the animals, with the people, knowing that we are literally all intertwined, it will, you know, cause us to change. At least that's the hope, right? And the divine feminine brings these issues to our awareness for the point of healing, for the point of change. Now, goddess spirituality, it often encourages women to embrace their strength, their intuition, and their agency. But again, it's not just for women. But for some women, especially those who were raised in environments emphasizing female submission or self-denial in particular, claiming their power can be initially uncomfortable or even frightening. But goddess spirituality caters to various needs beyond empowerment, right? It caters to healing, creativity, environmental connection, or seeking guidance on specific life challenges. Really, you know, the goddess is here to lend a guiding hand. One thing I wanted to say is that, and I don't want to forget, is that when people think of goddess spirituality, they think it's, oh, goddess worship, that you're just replacing one deity with another, right? But what it is building a relationship with the divine feminine aspects embodied in female form. And each goddess itself, which is a divine being of light, let me emphasize here, it's a divine being of light, its energy is present to guide you, to give you a different perspective, to heal aspects of yourself, to bring certain truths to your awareness. That is what they do. You know, in preparation for this whole show, I was getting all the episodes ready, and the first goddess that I channeled for this was Lilith, and I had never channeled her before. And you never know, you guys. I have to be really honest with you. You really never know if anybody's going to show up, because sometimes they can reject you. Not sometimes, often. You know, especially if you're not devout with them, if you haven't established a relationship with them. You know, they could just be like, not right now. So I didn't know if she was actually going to show up. But she freaking did. And I'm so glad she did, because she's a goddess whose story I understand, and whose plight I feel a connection to a certain degree. But, you know, she showed up to provide information that was, to me, mind-blowing, that was super helpful, also contributing to the, also revealing to me how much her story has been misconstrued about her. But she, when she came, she wanted me to remember, like, you're not here to just bow down to, like, the goddess realm. That's ridiculous. We're here to help empower you so you remember yourself, so you can stand on your own two feet and not be afraid to speak up for yourself and not do what you know is right. So to me, it is not about, you know, it isn't the stereotype that we find. It isn't like, oh, let me go and worship, you know, this deity and ask it for things. That's not really the basis of this spiritual practice whatsoever. They really are, I just heard, enlightened and informative beings who are here to, yes, lend a hand and guide you, but to lift you up. And I just heard, to tell you about yourself. So, and bring insight and truth. So that is what they do, and that is their offering to the world. A lot of them, I just heard, are peacemakers. Because what we need around here is to be the embodiment of peace in whatever form or fashion, but to help heal the world. You know, this, I do think that this path does take a lot of guts and a lot of courage, because it faces so much misrepresentation and so much discrimination. There are so many people who think it's, you know, thinks that goddess spirituality is a bunch of bullshit, but it isn't. And I think if you know, you know. And if the goddess is calling out to you, you know, you're listening to this right now, you may be questioning and doubting a little bit because there's some uncertainty and unfamiliarity and it's new. That's normal. But if you're listening and you feel excited and you've been getting little hints or synchronicities, then it really is for you and there is nothing to fear. And the last thing, because I'm going on and on, I'm just going to be very honest with you guys. Like I did, I've told you this before. I really was not anticipating this in my life. I didn't even know if I believed in any of this, but I can tell you I know it now. It's not a belief. I know it to be real. The guidance is very real. The help is very real. The support is super real. And there's nothing more powerful than having the support of so many goddesses. Can I put it that way? So many goddesses around you that believe in you, that support you. It's a different, it's a very different experience than going to a church and being reminded that, you know, you're not allowed to be an authority figure. You're not allowed to lead others. That the divine isn't as strong in you than it is in man. It's a very totally different experience. So I just wanted to give you my two cents about that. But if you have any fears, always ask your higher self to illuminate what's behind the fears for you. Why are you having these anxieties? What are you afraid that's going to happen? Do you think you're going to be condemned or punished in the afterlife? Really get to the root of why you're freaking afraid. It's okay to ask your higher self. It's going to show you in some way. It will pop up. And don't, you know, the other thing I wanted to say is if you really feel called to this, if you really, really feel called to this, then follow it. Trust that feeling. Trust that longing, that yearning. It's very real. And the most exciting thing I can say as I'm closing up all my notes, you guys, because this is a lot of work to do this show and the other one, honestly. I just feel very blessed with having made this realization or revelation. I can't really put it into words. There's something very magical about this. The goddesses will show up. They have your back. They want to help you. They're not, you know, massaging your ego. Please do not think that. It is nothing like that whatsoever, right? But they're really here to teach you, to help you, and to guide you. One thing I was told, and I'm going on and on, but I should be quiet, you know, from Athena directly, she always told me, never, ever, ever disrespect your inner light. Never, ever, ever forget that it's there. You're just as powerful. Don't forget what you really are. You know, many people probably think, oh, you have to, you know, do, you know, bow down to them and listen to only what they have to say and do what they say. Well, usually they're telling you, you know, ask your inner self, what does it say? Why aren't you listening to that? You know better, you know, things like that. That's the type of guidance, at least, I receive. It's very loving, but, you know, sometimes they have to throw the hammer down, you know, to give you a reality check about certain things. I just personally have found it to be very empowering, and it's always very surprising. And it takes commitment, but I wouldn't look back. I have no regrets, and I feel very grateful and deep gratitude that really out of the blue, this started happening. So anyway, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode. I felt like this episode needed to be done because I know there are a lot of fears. There's a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty, but I do think that if you're listening and you have that inkling, you know, there's a spark there that's starting to ignite. It is because your soul knows that this is part of your path. And I think that potentially you should follow it. All right, that's it for the evening for the God is Divine podcast. There will be more episodes to come. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys have a great week ahead. Take care.